Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And then there were 4MG. Season is over for the Manly Seagulls and the Parramatta Eels. We are down to the preliminary finals. The top four teams remaining.
Yeah, I've got to say, Manly were gallant in their performance against the South Sydney Rabbitohs. And topsy-turvy game. Lucky enough to be there calling the game for Triple M. And I tell you, it was anybody's game throughout. First, you thought that, Manly have come to play. But then South kind of fought their way back. And there's a couple of sim bins, or three sim bins. How many points? 50, 60 points scored in the game. So it was an extravaganza. And as I said, glad to be there. Unlucky for Manly. You've had a fantastic season. Last year coming 15th, you've scaled heights this year that nobody thought you did, so bravo.
And we're going to break down that Melbourne Storm Parramatta game, which, you know, I guess in the end, MG, 32 zip to the Melbourne Storm, the better side. It's about all you can say.
Yeah, of course, like Parramatta were the week before against the Broncos.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is the Rush Hour with MG's NRL Finals debrief. We are, as I said, 2 weeks ago to the NRL Grand Final. MG, let's start with the Bunnies Manly game Friday night. You said you're at ANZ Stadium. Let's talk about the elephant in the room of this game, the refereeing.
Yeah.
What was your take?
Well, you know what?
And we are not an anti-referee show.
No, but I'm old school, and I don't think you should be simbing for pushing somebody in the face in a game so physical as ours. Mm. When they've taken away the shoulder charge, they've taken away the punching. I mean, in both instances, Cody Walker was retaliating to something that one of his players got, you know, roughed up by another player, and he pushed the bloke in the face. So what? In the other case, with Cameron Smith and Reed Marnie had hold of Cameron Smith's jumper for a minute. How are you going to, like, the referee was right there.
Yeah.
So I don't want to sound like a dinosaur and saying, oh, back in our day, you know. Because things have changed and changed for the better, I feel.
Well, changed for the longevity of the game.
Yeah.
If they hadn't have changed, the game wouldn't survive. Now, the game is what it is now, but still, the Jake Trbojevic simbin?
No, I watching the game live, I couldn't believe it. You know, I believe it was a penalty sufficient.
It was the turning point, really.
But most definitely a turning point. It was 26-20 at that stage. Mm. South went bang, bang when Jake was off and scored two tries, one to Cam Murray, one to John Sutton.
And that's not to say that they wouldn't have scored if Jake had been on the field, but they probably wouldn't have scored as easily.
Yeah, and I don't think South would have scored when Jake got simbined either.
Yeah.
Cam Murray had the ball. He was getting covered. It was simply a bit of a tangled feet episode, to be honest.
Yeah.
I just think that, you know, the fabric of our game is built upon a tough attitude, and people watch our game from afar and go, you've got to be a special type of person to play that game. Well, you know, if someone out of the heat, in the heat of the battle pushes someone in the face, don't send them off.
The other thing, I guess, especially, and I go back to the Jake one only because that's, I guess, as you say, it was the turning point and it's the one that had Deso rolled up in the rooms afterwards. But I know referees, and you probably know better than most, shouldn't referee based on the character of a player.
No.
But if they did referee on the character of a player in this circumstance, Jake Trbojevic is one of the last players you'd expect to get involved in if that was intentional, that sort of stuff.
Well, there's an argument to say that it's already been going on because Jake spear-tackled somebody 2 months ago and nothing happened.
That's true.
Then the week before, Cotter got sent off for it.
Maybe it was a square-up.
Well, who knows? But I just know, look, I do feel that there should be some sort of rule for fair players.
Yeah.
You know, why not? If you're a clean skin and you do something that's out of character and it's an accident,
yeah,
why not? I think Jake should have been given the benefit of the doubt in that. At least a penalty is sufficient. Mm. But then the simbin him with, 12 minutes to go, you know, that was kind of the end for Manly. And I think they kind of knew it.
Manly's season, pass, fail, what mark do you give it?
Oh, man, a massive pass.
What mark do you give it?
Oh, you give it an A-.
Given in mind an A-, considering they finished two games short of a premiership, short.
Yeah, and without three of their best players all year to win, almost be one win away from the prelim final, to Tommy Turbo, Curtis Nierman,
Joel Thompson,
you know, these other young guys like Waddell and Gajewski and who just lifted in the... So, look, yeah, Desi Hasler had these Manly rugby league players eating out of his the palm of his hand, and they would have walked over a broken glass for him. And I love that attitude. That's the mentality you've got to have to win big footy matches. And they had a fantastic season. No one would have predicted they would have made it so far.
No. Very quickly, before we move on to the Bunnies, what does Dez need to go out and find to take that team to the next level? Aside from getting the fitness of those three key players you just mentioned before, but what else does he need to find? What does he need to add to that team? Is Dylan Walker the solution at 5'8 long term alongside DCE?
Well, I don't know. They've got a young guy who, Cade Cuss, who I like a lot. Yeah. I'd like to see Dylan Walker one wider as a, you know, but every time he touched the ball against South Sydney, he made the difference. Mm. He was setting up play left, right, and centre. His speed off the mark was troubling South Sydney. So maybe it is 5'8. But yeah. Look, there's not much he's got to do. There's not much they've got to do to, you know, they've got the depth. They showed they've got depth in the forwards. Tommy Turbo, you can only imagine how far they might have went if he stayed in the team fit. Yeah. And if, you know, Curtis Sirenin was fit and if Joel Thompson was fit. Yeah. But they probably need an outside back. And look, Moses Suli was one of the success stories of the year.
Absolutely.
So he's got that right centre covered, maybe a left centre, another winger.
I guess if you suggest that Cade Cuss comes in and develops into that 5'8 role, Dylan Walker shifts out into that centre position and maybe that jigsaw falls into place. Well, if some butts were candy and nuts, MG, we'd all have a very Merry Christmas. But the Bunnies.
Yeah.
They came out... a bit slow out the gate. They're a little bit shell-shocked by Manly, especially poor old Ethan Lowe, who is now the president of the Victims of George Tafua support group. He just got axed, but then they got the job done.
That's all. That's the bottom line. Yeah, they got the job done. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't emphatic. It wasn't something to beat your chest about, but they got it done. Yeah. And they got it done in a... they showed a lot of resolve to get it done because Manly didn't go away. That bloke Cameron Murray, who we talk about every week on this show, he just goes from strength to strength. And, you know, he at the end there, I know, and this is what Wayne Bennett would be really happy about. They had Ethan Lowe as right centre. They had him in left centre who I was just speaking about, Cameron Murray, and they had someone at fullback. I'm can't even think about that at fullback because Dewey and Alex Johnson were both off.
Yeah.
So they had to manufacture something.
And then you had Sam Burgess.
Sam Burgess with about five to go. He's HIO. So, yeah, I think Wayne Bennett would be really happy about that, they showed a lot of ticker and resilience. They didn't show that the week before against the Roosters.
Does that performance get the job done against the Raiders this weekend?
Oh, it could. It could. But you're going into hostile territory.
Mm.
You're going into a team that's had a week off. They've licked their wounds. They're one win away from a grand final. And I think Canberra are going to win the comp.
Really?
I think they're going to win the comp. Yeah, I do. I think it's going to start this Friday night against the Rabbitohs. I just think they'll be too irresistible.
It's going to be cold as charity in Canberra on Friday night too for the Bunnies.
It would be. And it's, you know, I just spent a week down there and the build-up had started even this time last week.
Mm.
And we're still 2 weeks away from the game. So now you can imagine now that the weekend's gone, they know who they're playing. To be down in Canberra this week would be fantastic. I can't wait to go Friday night. I want to witness this this Viking clap firsthand.
The coaching battle of that game in particular, it's going to be like the velvet glove and the sledgehammer. You know, you've got the velvet glove that is Wayne Bennett quietly, surreptitiously getting things done in the background and with sly mind games. And then you got Ricky, who is emotion, hard on sleeve.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get, and you feel like that's why his players love for him and are playing for him this year.
Yeah, I've got no doubt. Look, I played against him a lot in my career and I played with him in different teams. I toured with him and one of the best blokes I've met in the game.
Mm.
You know, and I can see why his players love him. I can see why, and I spoke on the show last week about how I'd love to have been coached by Wayne Bennett because everyone who gets coached by him says how much he's not that bloke you see, you know, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so that intrigues me. So, yeah, look, you made a really good point. The battle of the coaches this week, today I read somewhere in the media that they're having a feud. They haven't spoken for a couple of years, and that adds to it. You know, they'll shake each other's hand after the game, and I dare say even go for a beer together because that's what rugby league players and coaches do. So, but it does. Wayne Bennett, I think, is in his 28th or 29th final series, which is...
Is that possible?
It's phenomenal. He's coached over...
How is that possible?
Well, when you coach over 800 footy games...
Yeah, I guess so.
over a period of 32 years,
He's coached more final series than Adam Dewey's had birthdays.
Oh, a lot of blokes have had birthdays. Yeah, he's an amazing character. And I just watching him in his press conference last Friday after the game, he looked really at peace with himself.
Mm.
And I don't think there's any pressure going on on their shoulders. I think they've got to the stage where they are right now, top four, that I think he'd be happy with this year given the disruption, suspensions.
Oh, they've been through so much.
Yeah.
The recruitment of James Roberts, who hasn't really fired a shot. Actually, he was the bloke you said owed his club a performance. What'd you make of his effort?
Better.
Yeah.
It was better.
Still can go through some more gears. He's not the James Roberts we've seen at his best is he?
You know what? You know when James Roberts is at his best, he gets in and makes up team runs from dummy half to get involved early because the blokes who sit back and watch the game unfold, they're the ones who find it hard to get into the game at any stage.
Could you imagine, God, given the speed Damien Cook has out of dummy half, could you imagine if James Roberts starts threatening out of there as well? Good luck.
But that's a really good point. That's what he should be doing. He should be pushing up every time that, especially in South Sydney's own half, when he likes to have a scoot Cook, especially off the back of a Cameron Murray play the ball because he plays them quick, or Sam Burgess. That's when he's got to come from in off his centre and say, okay, I'm here.
Robbo's probably the only bloke who could support run Damien Cook, the speed that he runs.
Probably.
Hey, let's move to the other game from this weekend. A bit of a non-starter, a bit of a fizzer. The Melbourne Storm just too strong for the Parramatta Eels. You get the feeling Parramatta played their grand final last week in that romp against the Broncos, but their season is over.
Good point.
Yeah. What do you, same question that I gave you about Manly, A through F, what grade do you give Parramatta on their season?
Oh, it's an A. It's an A. It's wooden spoon, to making, one win away from the finals. Great recruitment in the offseason from the Eels. We'll see if they come from nowhere. We didn't even see him coming. Blake Ferguson was fantastic. Sean Lane was fantastic. Junior Paulo was fantastic. Dylan Brown was fantastic. So, look, I can't fault them. I think that they were one of the better teams to watch this year.
Especially at Bankwest Stadium.
Oh, that's, another gear. And I hear what you say about their grand final being last week against the Broncos. When you win 58-0, I don't know if that's a real good preparation for a game that's looming. And that's why I'm worried about Storm against Roosters. Because, to win by 32 points to nil at home, then I don't think any player in this current Rooster side, the Storm side, have ever played SCG. And we know how good Latrell is there. It seems to be that he's got the Midas touch at the SCG because I think opposing teams don't read how expansive it is. And then, of course, the crowd's so far back, you kind of get a false sense of security about how far he's away from you. And I think he's outscored opponents there on his own this year. In the eight games he's played at SCG, I think he's like, I'll find the stat and mention it on the rush hour this week, but I know that Latrell has got to be stopped big time. But Melbourne, well, they did everything they had to do.
Yeah.
They were fantastic. Mm. They come out of the blocks. As soon as I saw the rain, I knew Parramatta were in trouble. I knew this was going to be a custom-made night for the Melbourne Storm. Rain, drizzle, on their home deck. They got beat last week.
Munster was much better.
Munster was great. Pappenhausen's fantastic. Like, how can you do that? How can you lose Billy Slater and then get his clone?
There was a piece in the paper today about the fact that he was dummy Luke Keary last year ahead of the Storm's grand final preparation.
It's phenomenal. The way they churn them out. It's, there's a kid whose name escapes me who's the player of the year, I think, in the Interest Cup, who plays hooker. And he's had like five or six offers from other clubs.
Mm.
He's waiting for Cam Smith to retire. So he wants to go straight into that hooker spot. So he's willing to play reserve grade. That's the culture that you want at your club.
Yeah.
That's exactly. And he's got it. Bellamy's got the Midas touch. And all the main characters, the front row of Solomona and the Bromwich brothers and Finucane and Hughes and Pappenhausen, the wingers. Look, Addo Carr was back to his best after probably losing the game for him the week before, dropping that ball from dummy half. He had to make up for that.
Mm.
I like the fact that he showed some ticker by dropping Will Chambers and bringing Curtis Scott, who was hungry.
Yeah.
I like that. And I think that makes them stronger. And I think that's what's going to be the matchup. I think he'll be on – Curtis Scott will be on Latrell.
You think Bellamy sticks with it?
Yeah.
I wondered whether that might be a, hey, Will, here's a bit of, you know, here's a bit of a wood for the fire for next week, because you're coming back into the starting side. You're going head to head with Luttrell, but you don't reckon he risks that given the form of
he might. Yeah, he might. He might. He might have been. It might have been a bit of. Yeah, you're right. A bit of fire under the belly to say, this is what happens when you're out.
But at the end of it, MG, we are left with the four best teams from the regular season going head to head in the prelim.
Yeah, these four have been the benchmark all season. These four have been the ones that have set the bar the highest, and I'm glad that the four best teams made it to the last 2 weeks of the competition.
All right, well, there it is, the NRL Finals Week 2 debrief. 2 weeks to go, MG, until we are talking about a grand final. Four teams remaining. The Sydney Roosters set to play the Melbourne Storm, and the Canberra Raiders set to take on South Sydney Rabbitohs.
For the record, I think the Raiders will beat the Rabbitohs, and I think the Storm will beat the Roosters.
So you're saying a Storm-Raiders grand final?
Yep, with the Raiders to win.
Wow.
There you
Jeez,
go.
Look at you are on that, John. You're on the Bateman train, aren't you?
I'm on the green machine. You know what I mean? I'm green machine, yeah.